If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have your ears. Lovely to be on the waves. Not literally, we're not surfing.
We're not Radio Luxembourg, are we?
Oh, if only we were, James. That's James or Jim.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's here. Pete Donaldson's here.
Hello, I'm here.
We're a man down.
Mm. Not again.
The big man's not here.
Is he off to Edinburgh? Has he missed us?
Yeah, he booked a show. He doesn't quite understand how it works. He's wasted thousands of pounds. Didn't want to tell him. It'd break his little heart.
Edinburgh's sick of comedy in September.
Yeah, Luke's not here, ladies and gentlemen. So turn the volume up. There's the joke that we all...
Just enjoy the silence.
Thanks very much, Depeche Mode. right, chaps, let's begin. We had a Manchester-Liverpool derby, which is the biggest game in English football, according to Alex Ferguson. Mm. Sir Alex. What is your favourite goal from a past Manchester United-Liverpool match? James or Jim?
I'm going to go straight in with, I think it was 1996 FA Cup final. Eric
Cannon.
Oh,
yeah.
So a volley that was... It almost like he had to get it out from under his feet despite it being in the air. Does that make sense?
Well, it was behind him, wasn't it? It was a very dour match.
Yeah, it was just really late on as well. Really late. And David James fumbled
the
ball, I think. You know,
he came out to punch it and he didn't get a very good punch.
Yeah, it was Calamity James era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cantona punishing.
That was the white suit final.
Yeah, that's right.
Liverpool white suit.
But the thing is, that was the year after Cantona had kicked that fan. So that was like his redemption, wasn't it? Like, complete with that goal.
It was incredible, really, because the final was so built up. Because, of course, you know, it's Manchester United versus Liverpool, and rightfully so. And the game was so bad. And the crowd of players he put... I think it went through half the crowd as well, that goal. Went through everybody.
The FA Cup final has had some absolutely stinking matches on the
year. It really has.
That's why when Liverpool drew 3-3 with West Ham that year, it was like, what?
What's going on?
The hell, this is enjoyable.
West Ham winning the World Cup again. They've been bringing football back and saving it all. I'm to the point with the FA Cup now. The final is so often bad. I forget who's won it a lot of the time. I just assume it's Chelsea. Yeah.
Whereas there's been some cracking playoff finals.
Yes,
there's been some good semis, to be honest. I think.
Yeah, the semis are usually much better than the final. Yeah. Here we are talking about the latter stages of the FA Cup already.
How'd this happen,
Pete?
I'm going to go for a similar... I think it must have been the same year. In fact, it was the year that Eric came back.
Oh, the redemption.
The redemption. Show, so to speak.
The
where he played
show.
against Liverpool, where he put Nicky Butt in for a great goal, sort of a, I think it was a chest and a volley into the back. It was, I remember Liverpool were wearing like their green and white
quarters.
Green and white quarters. Yeah. Were they still sponsored by Candy then?
No, it was Carlsberg.
Yeah, I think it was Carlsberg.
Carlsberg, yes.
Robbie Fowler with the bleached blonde hair.
Yes, that's right. And basically, well, he's got a penalty at one point, which was a deserved penalty, and that was his. So he had one assist, one goal.
Yeah, that was his. Was it his first game back or something? It was certainly very soon after the ban. He scored the penalty, celebrated like a madman. Robbie Fowler scored two. still is. Robbie Fowler scored two great goals that day. It's worth YouTube.
Hammered them
very much indeed. Oh, the second one was a lovely chip. I'm going to go for Steven Gerrard scoring an absolute rocket at Anfield once when it was 2-0 to Liverpool at home. Fowler got the second, and it was just a ridiculous hit. You know when Gerrard properly connects,
Laces.
It's just like ridiculous.
Well, if you combined every time that he hit the ball into some sort of force, and you could make a drill out of it, we'd rescue those Chilean miners in seconds. if he just hit the ball as hard as he could, down.
You're true.
Into the ground.
Yeah.
We'd have him free by now. I think it's to his detriment that he hasn't done that.
When are they getting out, those Chilean miners?
Well, they've drilled a big hole. They're out pretty soon.
Are they?
Didn't David Villa send two shirts? It's like 33 of them down there.
Yeah, the last thing they need is a fire.
And it's really warm down there.
Yeah, the material on a football
probably quite dark as well.
They yeah. Didn't Chile play a friendly against Ukraine? And I think they managed
they've been piping in bits and bobs. I mean, they're quite well sort of.
Hang on.
It's quite a big space. It's not like a little cavity. They've got, like, trucks and stuff down there. But, I mean, not ideal. Living underground. Living underground, not ideal.
Yeah. If we learn one thing from today's show, I think it's going
to
be that.
You can tell I used to be an estate agent.
Excellent. Well, let's get on. Oh, points. Points mean prizes.
Oh, can we give them out now he's not here?
Yeah, of course.
Are we allowed to do that?
Well, we gave them when James wasn't here.
Yeah. Did we? Oh, I can't remember.
Go on then, James, you have them.
Yes. I'm on a bit of a roll, actually.
He is. A ramble roll, Steve Holmes. Premier League, Berbatov hat-trick.
What a good...
having a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see Berbatov finally being the player that they paid all that money for, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, it is obviously fair to say Berbatov has yet to
be on behalf of the Manchester United PLC.
at Spurs. Yeah. And I mean, do you think he's going to carry on? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, this is it now. This is Berbatov bedded into United. He's going to be amazing all the time.
It's just weird that he started so well, though, isn't it? Like, he had a good couple of matches first two. But that I mean, even the delivery from Nani wasn't great, to be honest. It was too high. It was slow ball. And to be fair, I think somebody should have had a header in. He shouldn't have had two touches to... It was a magnificent goal, obviously.
The second goal, you mean?
Sorry. I mean,
first hat-trick in a game like that for 64, 65 years, something
really?
Like that. Wow. It was outrageous start of match of the day, yeah. Nani's been apparently getting booed by the Manchester United fans because he's going down, he's play-acting, messing around. They're getting a bit fed up with him.
Well,
they have seen that before, surely.
Quite recently, if I remember right. But, the thing with Nani, though, is that he is another one, isn't he? He's a frustrating player. He dips in and out of form. So this is the only consistency of about him, really. It's booing him's a bit harsh, though, isn't it?
Maybe they were saying boo earns.
They probably were, yeah. I certainly was.
I like Gerrard's free kick. That was like where I can't remember which player it was. Just
it was
peeled
Fletcher,
off.
Wasn't it?
Was it Fletcher who just sort of peeled off the.
Like he didn't want to get hit with it.
Yeah, well, he was following the player that sort of. He stood right next to the wall and then just started running, but I'm not sure who that player was. And then Gerrard just picked a spot in between Fletcher and the
other player. Did you see Ashley Young's free kick for Aston Villa, where Stephen Ireland did that thing where he stands on the end of the wall and he pushes the defender in.
Okay, right.
And then ducks, and Ashley Young perfectly puts it over him.
Imagine
right
being
into the corner.
Imagine being able to pick your spot there. Just pick that sort of little quadrant. They sort of say you should get it if you don't have Stephen Ireland on the end of your ball. You're supposed to hit it second man to the right or second man to the left.
Is that right?
Just between them two heads. I am speaking about one person there, but between the first and second defender on the left or the right, and it usually goes in.
This could spawn a new generation of free kick takers. Information.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Right. We can leave now. Job's done. Chelsea brushed aside Blackpool 4-0.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Chelsea, actually, for not scoring any more goals in the second half.
Well, I think Blackpool did well.
Yeah.
It was such a pity that they were down. Like, I mean, DJ Campbell missed, like, a fairly decent chance in the end. Although there was the penalty shout that they probably should have had, I think in the second half, it was just, they put in a really, really good performance. And Chelsea looked shaky at times at the back for me. Like, second half.
They're still missing Terry and Lampard out of that side, though, and they never really seem to get out of second gear, even when they were just strolling it. Like, it was just ridiculous. They could have, it's such a cliche, but they really could have had more in that first half. There was Drogba missed a couple of sitters. He didn't have a great game. A lot of people were saying, like, obviously he was very strong and he created chances and stuff, but he missed things he would otherwise score. And
well, his goal was kind of deflected, wasn't it?
Fulham, their rivals, got a good point away to Blackburn after coming from behind a rather dubious goal.
Dubious?
Yeah. LA did you prove in the end that he's a terrible bloke.
Schwarzer, he's a nice guy. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Who's the nicest guy in the field I can get into?
he's a bad guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just one of those sort of blokes.
Looks it as well.
Yeah.
In case anybody didn't see it, he was free kick, balls were going into the box. I think it was free kicks. And he ran looking straight at Schwarzer.
He didn't look at the ball, he didn't look where it was.
And it was a body check. Okay, fair enough. It's not like a flipping American football body check, but it was...
But it's still not in the rules.
It's still against the laws of the game. Although Schwarzer did handle the ball outside the penalty.
He was very lucky to
get it. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Good header from Dempsey.
Yeah. Nice. Lovely stuff. Very passionate celebration. Sam Allardyce.
He's had a week of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Has he just got really pissed when he said all this?
Well, here we go. You've been waiting for this, I think. Sam Allardyce said the following things. I'm not suited to Bolton or Blackburn. I would be more suited to Inter or Real Madrid. It wouldn't be a problem to me to go and manage those clubs because I would win the double or the league every time. Give me Manchester United or Chelsea and I would do the same. It wouldn't be a problem. It's not where I'm suited to. It's just where I've been for most of the time.
What is he basing this on?
I watched that man manage Newcastle with a fair whack of money. Yeah. And he signed some clodders. Absolute bloody clodders.
I mean, there was somebody actually arguing on our forum that Allardyce had Bolton playing some decent football in his time, and I don't think they were as bad as people always point out, but they were still very rough and tumble, and there was a lot of long ball stuff alongside what their decent players that they had at the time could do. And I just don't think Allardyce has ever shown that he could do anything at a club where he wouldn't rely on that sort of football. Surely he wouldn't be going to Inter and just saying, yeah, well, like, lump it up to Kevin Davis.
He's had a liquid lunch and he's come back a bit lightheaded, a bit giddy.
He's had one of those roast dinners where, like, it comes in a big Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, yeah.
And he's probably had a little bit too much wine.
He's been Aunt Bessie's.
And he's been hijacked by some lucky, plucky journalist.
Yeah.
He's been hijacked by batter. I think some sort of fungus has grown in the batter that makes the Yorkshire pudding.
Psychedelic.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Imagine him at Real Madrid. Actually think of what that would be like.
Yeah. Cristiano, get up there.
Yeah.
You know, just... God. Do you not think Ozil and Khedira could learn from...
Well, yeah, those? I mean, one thing I don't like about Ozil in particular is that he uses his feet too much.
He just a smash into Mark Schwarzer, you know.
Yeah. I think it's pretentious, and I think it's something that they need to kick out of their game, frankly.
Yeah.
What they need is some English goals. Yeah. And if there's anyone that's going to get you them, it's Allardyce.
It's an incredible it's as if he's trying to put himself in the shop window for those teams.
But I would if you were a Blackburn fan, I mean, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I was very surprised to not see him get booed. Because I'd be booing him.
I'm not suited to this club. He's basically saying I'm too big for this club.
And then he realised what he said and tried to bring Mark Hughes in it, sort of saying, oh, well, Hughes didn't get enough time here and there. And it's like, don't bring him into
it. Exactly. Mark Hughes has got to be reading that going, whoa.
In your circus of mentalness.
Yeah, I'm very happy in my middle class paradise. Thank you very much. You know.
We've even got a cottage at the ground where I live. I think that's how it works.
Exactly, yeah. So Allardyce putting himself in the same league as Rafa Benitez, Champions League winner. Jose Mourinho, Sir Alex Ferguson and Carlo Ancelotti.
Just staggering.
Body weight.
They have the big five in Africa. Well, that's what we have in Europe.
He's really matey with Ferguson, isn't he? And maybe he's just jealous and it's rubbing off on him and it's just... he's wearing a hat with mercury in it or something and it's made him go mad. It's baffling. It's out of nowhere as well. That's the thing.
Which suggests he was pissed.
Yeah.
do it during a good cup run or something. Don't do it the three games at the season.
Yeah. No, it's nuts.
When you're playing terrible football, to be quite frank. Yeah.
Well, he also said that he was having a bit of a pop at Wenger. He was a backhanded compliment. He was saying that Arsene Wenger has most of the media in his pocket now, and it's almost affecting the officials, so you can't tackle an Arsenal player.
Well, that's rubbish, though, isn't it? Because Paul Robinson had a horrendous challenge on Abu Dhabi the other week, and I don't think he even got booked, did he?
Well, look, I just like the fact he says almost in this thing. I mean, he would have been better using that almost in the previous paragraph where he was talking about I could almost manage Real Madrid. It was very binary in that bit. It was like yes or no. I could manage Real Madrid. Yeah. If he sort of says maybe, he's not exactly saying it, is he? He's not exactly saying that Arsene Wenger. Has got the media and the referees in his pocket. And anyway, Arsene Wenger has been charged by the FA this weekend.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Has he got the media in his pocket?
Yeah. Arsenal dropping points away to Sunderland.
Yeah, poor.
You must have been gutted with that one.
Yeah, it's just annoying. It's really frustrating. Rizit Steep should have scored, obviously.
Penalty.
Massive, fluke for Fabregas' goal. And annoying that he got injured during it. But
absolutely outrageous goal.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, I mean, it's poor. We should be sort of playing better than that away from home, because that's the main thing, isn't it? If you're really in a title fight, you've got to win those games, and it's frustrating that already we're losing points there. I mean, it's frustrating. frustrating because we look so strong at home, and we look very much like we might become a sort of Jekyll and Hyde team this season. I hope that's not the case.
Pete, Newcastle, fabulous win at Goodison Park, fabulous goal.
Hard work, yeah, it was quite a hard working. They made us work for it, I think. I think we should have had a penalty quite easily.
I tell you, Fellaini missed a sitter right at the end, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He was being an arse all day, my word. My head of Everton wasn't on the pitch, so he thought, right, I'm going to piss Pete off now.
Yeah, he's a bit of a nasty so and so, Fellaini. He's a good player, but.
He was.
Ben Arthur, though, you've got to be happy with that, sure.
Yeah, he played really. And the best thing to see was just. Doesn't he look like Laurent Robert a little bit?
Yeah,
by the looks of it, he acts like him as well.
And he's got a bit of a petulant pinger.
He's a petulant pinger.
Are you absolutely sure it's not Lauren Rubin?
Just with a bit of beard.
I'm Ben Arthur now.
Or that kid from Goal.
Oh yeah, maybe, yeah, a little bit.
We talked
about
Goal last on Ramble Extra.
We did.
Well, it was just nice to see someone run at a player, and if that sort of running at players could rub off on Jonas, that might be nice, because Jonas has got a real sort of thing of trying to run at a player and then stopping and just turning round and not really being able to beat him. But he had a really, really strong debut, I thought, and it was good seeing it was good seeing Carroll at the back at some point. When we were really up against it, he was dominant. I know he's a big fella, but I mean, he was dominant. And to be honest, it really showed up how
he's a man
crap,
for a high ball.
Crap James Purch is, to be honest, who is not a Premiership footballer. He's been booked 5 times.
Wow.
He's the first, as a Premiership record, he's been booked every single match this season.
That's class, that is. Yeah. I hope he continues that record. He just got plays 5 games, get
well,
he's,
he, well yeah. he, when he comes back, yeah, after being suspended, yeah. He will, yeah.
Incredible.
Super. Oh, and also a little mention, West Brom beat Birmingham 3-1, Midland Derby.
Yeah, well, watching Stephen Carr the first few matches, he's been playing really well, but he looked really out of sorts, and I genuinely think it had a lot down to him that they lost, to be honest.
I think it's their best ever start to a Premiership season, West Brom.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're doing well. It's really open at the moment. I know, obviously, at this point of every season it is, but I love this bit.
Yeah.
You don't quite know what's going to happen. And then
Chelsea are ruining it.
They are actually, yeah. This horrible, sober light of day that is Chelsea.
Chelsea?
Chelsea.
Chelsea, y'all.
Chelsea, yeah.
In the Championship, the big result there, for my money, was Watford, who are now fifth, hammering Millwall, who are now in ninth, who had a good start of the season. At the New Den, at Millwall's home, 6-1.
Mm. That's not good.
It's unbelievable.
Big scores are back. I've seen it everywhere. It's happening all the time.
Yeah.
But and it's not necessarily kind of like teams that you'd expect at the bottom of the league beating teams. Being beaten by that degree. It's just kind of mid-table teams taking each other apart.
Yeah, it's Newcastle beating Villa.
Yeah, Newcastle Villa.
Yeah.
What?
I love all that. Big fan of that, me. Big fan of football. QPR. Now they're the Chelsea of the Championship.
QPR. They're flying, aren't they? I'd like to see them up in the Premier League.
I miss them.
I miss
Steve Celez.
Trevor Sinclair and that overhead kick he scored. I miss my youth.
They've got a different team.
No.
They've still got the same kit. Still got the hoops.
Kevin Gallen.
Oh, Kevin God, Gallen. Yeah.
Andy Impey.
Look at you, you 90s QPR knowledge.
I've got some of them. They were one of my favourites. I'm trying to think now. It's annoying me.
Is that a
David
decent
Seaman?
Team?
Daniel Dicchio?
David Seaman start?
No, he was at Leeds, wasn't he?
Oh, I thought Seaman.
With that accent.
Well, he did also play for Arsenal.
All right. Yeah.
QPR under Steve Warnock. Did I tell you the time I met Steve Warnock once?
No.
He was a manager of Palace and.
Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
Not Colin.
Warnock.
Right, I met him. The manager of QPR. Used to be manager of Palace.
Yes.
And he was really nice. And I told him that I was a Palace fan just because I wanted to see how he would react. And he was loving it. And he said.
Pathetic yes, man.
Look at you lying to Colin Wanker. Just for your own amusement.
But he said.
Do you lie to other people just to see what they do?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, like your hair, Pete.
Well, he went, are you going Saturday, are you? And I was like, no, I've got a wedding to go to.
Again, another lie.
And
how far did this
go? I think that was true. And he went, all right, we'll have a bit of face on. We're trying to sort it out of that club. When I took over, it was in right disarray, but we're getting there, you know. He's just like,
I've knocked through a few walls.
It's like talking to some Sunday league manager as well. I like him, old Colin Wanker. But yeah, they're top of the league by 5 points already.
Loads.
Already.
I've seen Coventry have signed Marlon King on full contract.
Yeah, that's sort of AD Boothroyd. There's your link.
It's probably a smart move, isn't it? He will get goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever you say about his character. I mean, look at Lee Hughes.
He'll certainly get headlines, isn't he?
So look at Mike Tyson in The Hangover.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say. Convicted rapist.
Makes it all right, isn't it?
There we go.
Yeah, there's a bit in that film where he goes, you know, he sort of lets them off for nicking his tiger. Where he goes, yeah, we all do, you know, we all do stupid stuff when we're fucked up.
Don't.
Was that what that was referring to?
Rape.
Basically. I thought The Hangover was a particularly nasty film, but that's for another time.
Yeah.
I thought it was sexy.
Right now we're talking about the Championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, everyone. I don't know what came over me there.
Ipswich.
These are the bits that are normally cut out.
Luke's not here to tell us off.
Ipswich are now second. They beat Cardiff, who are third. They beat them 2-0. Good result for Roy Keane's men. It'd be good to see him back in the Premier League.
Mm. Would it?
Yes.
Good or terrifying?
Oh, come on.
I feel like when I see him in his press conferences, I feel like I'm being judged in some way.
You know what I mean? And of course you are.
Exactly, yeah. Well,
It's like that bit on, remember the kids' TV show Nightmare, where you used to have like a looking glass, and the character used to pick up the looking glass.
Oh, yeah,
and there'd
that
be
guy.
Like Dr. Death or whatever, or he'd be like the evil king, basically. Yep. And he'd be talking to his like, he'd be doing what is effectively a press conference. Then he'd suddenly look up to the camera.
Yeah.
And you'd have to put the eyeglass down because he was looking at you, and he'd kill you if he looked for too long, like Medusa. Yeah. And that's what I always think when I see Roy Keane being interviewed, because he's just suddenly going
to
look at the camera and go,
change channel.
Oh, you're watching I Appear? But he'd do it in an Irish accent, obviously.
I really, really hope he doesn't find out about this podcast.
His dog died, didn't he?
No, the famous dog.
So he's, he won't be happy. I mean, he's not happy at the best of times.
Well, did you hear that John Walters, who recently left Ipswich and signed for Stoke City, Keane was heavily critical of that move because he said John Walters was pushing for a move away and so on. Keane
been to Stoke, shops are rubbish.
Exactly. Keane was really annoyed of him. But it came out recently that John Walters was saying that actually, around that time, he was sick, which is why he never played for Ipswich. I think it was against Exeter in the Cup. And he said, no, I can't play, I'm sick. And Keane was like, oh, you're just trying to move to another club, blah, blah, blah. And John Walters actually said that he was throwing up all night, that he actually took a picture of his vomit and sent it to the physio because he knew Roy wouldn't believe him.
Oh, but if I send my ejaculate to Newcastle youth coach Peter Beardsley, suddenly I've got a problem.
Oh God.
Naughty. Right, that's a yellow card.
Boom.
Oh. One more and you're out.
Come on.
Wow, this is a new system.
Well, I had to bring it in.
Yeah. Oh, can't believe it. They're always changing their minds, FIFA, aren't they? Their punishments.
Old sex.
Oh, what do I get for racism? I get nothing, do I? Got to pay you a pound, do I?
Yeah.
Say the word ejaculate and you get a booking.
Yeah.
Skewed.
Should be a sending off, but it would only be James and I, and quite frankly, I'm not up for that. did anybody see any of La Liga?
Sorry, a bit.
Messi got an awful tackle.
There's a picture of it.
Yeah, it's going to be out for a while, isn't it?
Horrible. Apparently, it's only going to be a couple of weeks.
It wasn't in a couple of weeks, but
it did look worse, didn't it?
It was one of those ones where he thought that could be his ankle broke.
Yeah, well, they were worried about that, weren't they? They were worried about exactly that, but apparently, it's just ligament damage, which is still pretty bad.
Yeah, fine then.
Can you imagine
the greatest footballer of his generation?
Imagine I forget his name, who put him out for the whole season.
Yeah, no.
He'd be dead. not on my wishes, though. Barca had a decent win away to Atletico Madrid. You know, Valencia.
Because they're a bit of a bogey side for Barca, aren't they? They beat them quite a lot, and it's a good win.
Valencia are top, having won all three games so far. Yeah. So, egg on David Villa's face for leaving them.
Well, Juan Mata, hanging on to him, has obviously been instrumental in that. I like Valencia a lot as a team.
Yeah,
they're a very likeable club, and I hope that they can sort of get through all their financial troubles. And
well, we spoke
two stadiums at one point, neither of which they wanted. Because they built a new stadium, but they ran out of money for it, and so they were trying to sell their old stadium to redevelop that into something else, but they couldn't.
They've had a lot of fun.
They didn't have enough to move into the new one and finish it properly, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you see Mourinho counting his chewing gum? There's a great video clip of him, but I think it was last match. He was he just before the match, he'd taken all his chewing gum, it was about 10 pieces of chewing gum, and he sort of laid them out and counted them.
Did he?
I put it on Ramble Tube, it's fascinating. Like proper OCD, sort of like 1, 2, 3, 4 slices of chewing gum.
Really?
Weird. Wow. Very, very strange. Really? and then he popped them in his mouth. Not all of them.
And he turned around and there was Sam Allardyce on the bench eating and going, "You're up to Blackburn, son.
You're my assistant. Prepare my chewing gum.
You're my translator.
I'm not really suited to this game. I should be running the country."
It doesn't sound anything like that.
Yeah, of course not. Serie A.
Syria.
Syria. Naughty.
What? That's a McDonald's.
That's a warning, that is, surely. Pete. You can't send him... As we know, you can't send him off, yeah. So the system's flawed.
I'm proving that I'm ill by burping.
You are misbehaving.
I am.
All right.
There's a lot more room in the room.
Got to fill it with some sort of...
Maneuverability.
Let's drag it back. Serie A. Milan were at home to Catania. Catania, out of their starting 11, 8 from Argentina.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. That's
wowzers real. Indeed. Mm. One each, poor result for Milan. They just, same again.
Yeah, Milan are... It's sad,
isn't
it?
You can't have that many luxury players in a team.
It's ridiculous.
And I genuinely was watching the game thinking, how would I set them up? Okay, you'd have one up front and two out wide, or 4-2-3-1 super. And always you think to yourself, yeah, because Ronaldinho's just stuck it on the left, he's not going to track back, and then they tried Zlatan out right, and of course he wanted to drift in the middle. Inzaghi at least was the goal threat, you know, and did score, and it was actually a lovely setup from Ronaldinho. But everyone I thought, okay, but you'd need guys who are going to track back on the wings, so maybe who would you bring on? Rubinho? No, he's not going to do that. Pato, probably. You are stuck.
Pato may be a lot more than Rubinho.
Oh, Pato's decent. I think he's quite possibly their most consistent player going forward. But
that's the thing, you don't want to put a load of them on the bench. That's the problem, isn't it, really? You've probably got players that could fit that jigsaw piece quite well.
Well, the Milan coach, Allegri... Mm-hmm. He's very attack-minded. And, I mean, really, the players he has, he's really got to play a 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking 4-4-2 with a diamond and one in behind and so on, but that's the way they line up, and they really are going to leave themselves... Well, they do leave themselves exposed to the back.
There was a lot of talk that Rubinho was a complete political signing. It was just Berlusconi wanted to just sort of get everyone on side of go, well, here's a superstar.
Yeah,
sort of.
I
just don't see why they need
him. Well, him and Ibrahimovic, of course.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just such a... top-heavy side, and obviously the midfield is getting older. It's quite slow.
I mean, they've got to play Flamini more, surely.
Yeah. So it's a mental move for him. It's such a shame that you know, he doesn't seem to have forced his way in yet. Well, I mean, he was incredible at Arsenal in that last season.
Absolutely. And, of course, Kevin Prince-Boateng's there, but...
Yeah.
Just in amongst those guys. It does look quite funny.
Yeah, but he did have a great World Cup. And he's a busy player. Yeah. And, you know, good luck to him. Yeah,
he fancies himself, to be fair. He's got the ego to sort of match, I guess.
Well, while we're on the subject of Milan, did you see that after they beat Auxerre 2-0 in Champions League, Zibra scored two? He had an argument with Arrigo Sacchi, Milan legend, on air. Because Sacchi joked that Ibra wouldn't have scored those goals if he hadn't got such big feet. Ibra does have huge feet.
Yeah.
Really, really, really quite funny. So Zlatan was interviewed after, and he said that Sacchi needs to learn how to shut up. can't teach an old dog new tricks. Ibrahimovic says, "When someone talks too much, they talk too much. You're one of those people. If you don't like the way I play, don't come and watch me." And then Sacchi sort of said, "Oh, hang on, let me explain." And Ibrahimovic immediately went, "You don't need to explain anything to me." And Sacchi went, "Oi, you need to learn some manners, son."
Absolutely.
There was that thing with he's been there a few weeks.
He's a sociopath.
But he's been there a few weeks and he's digging on one of their legends.
It's not the first thing he's done, though, is it? It's like there's that thing with is it Rodney Strasser? He's a Milan player as well.
Who's like quite young.
There's this video of them in training where they're all sort of listening to a team talk, and Zlatan just sort of goes up behind him and just sort of kicks him. Just
kicks
like
high in the back.
Kicks him into in the side of his stomach, really. And then the guy turns around just looking at him like,
"What are you doing?"
And then are you bullying me?
Genuinely think he thinks he's in prison. Like the third, in most prison films, what happens is you get put in prison. So what you do is start a fight on the first day.
With the big
dog. So then people. But he's just picking on a little youth team player, effectively.
Just weird.
Very strange.
But like and then he goes off to sort of hug with Ronaldinho and have a lark about with him.
Yeah.
Because Ronaldinho knows all the night spots.
Yeah.
So he's got to keep him sweet.
Just what is the thinking behind that? Just alienating your your teammates. It's just crazy. I can't fathom it.
He is Latin.
He is Latin.
Worrying for all the other teams apart from Inter in Serie A is Samuel Eto'o is scoring goals.
Yes. It's funny because Milito's dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, shame. Funny time. After such a phenomenal season. Mm. But yeah, Eto'o scored another brace.
It's nice seeing him put him in though.
Absolutely. We pulled him back from the one down, weren't we?
There were one down and 2-1, yeah. That'll keep Rafa Benitez happy.
Really interested to see how that's going to work out with Benitez at Inter. It just seems an odd fit.
Yeah, but
I think he's probably more suited to managing sides like Bolton, Blackburn.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, but I stopped myself. But thank you for picking up that gauntlet. In the Bundesliga, McLaren's Wolfsburg got the first win of the season, 2-0 v Hanover.
He was saying he's
really enjoying life in Germany.
Yeah.
And he was saying how great the league was and all that kind of stuff. And
I really want to go to a game out there because we get quite a lot of correspondence from people saying it's the atmosphere is brilliant in every stadium. This is not
it's the best attended league in the world, isn't it?
I think so.
Certainly in Europe. Yeah.
It's just the atmosphere in the Werder Bremen Spurs game as well just sounded absolutely electric. Mm,
yeah.
It's great. And there's a lot of really good players out there. Marco Marin was particularly impressive in that game.
Mm.
Let's go.
It's been decided. I think the average attendance is something like 6,000 to 8,000 more a season than in England, and the average ticket price is half of that in England. I think in England the average ticket price is like £36 a game, whereas over there it's...
And there's less debt, weirdly, over there. Most of the teams are not in the red.
Oh, love them.
See, Ballack got injured, and there's talk from Jürgen Löw that he might never play for Germany again. Because he's obviously got to prove his fitness and stuff, and he's struggling to do it and struggling to get back to form and stuff like that.
So. England 11, can we do that?
I don't think it works like that.
Okay. The first Hamburg derby in 8 years, I think, might be correct.
It's St. Pauli, isn't it?
FC St. Pauli were playing Hamburg. And they were a few minutes away from victory. Petric scored a superb equaliser for Hamburg. Absolutely stunning goal. But I was told by friend of the Ramble, Chris Gould, that apparently the St. Pauli team often travel to away games on the same train with fans.
Really?
Yeah. But on the first away game of the season, the St. Pauli... It's not really actually funny, but the St. Pauli fans were set upon by some rival fans and at the station, and the St. Pauli goalkeeper was injured in the fight.
Ow. What sort of injury?
I've no idea.
Just like punched in the face or like tweak his hamstring?
I don't know. Maybe they targeted the keeper and they were like, I don't know. Hit him on the hand.
Hit him on the hand.
Did an Allardyce.
Hit his hand.
Get you.
Yeah.
Doof body.
Rip his gloves.
It's incredible, really.
It must be nice to like have a scrap with your players with you.
If that's your thing.
If that's your thing, actually having your players with you.
Yeah. It would egg you on a bit more than normal.
Well, like 11 athletic men. Mm. Useful. Yeah.
If they get to him, then we're probably going to lose. So.
Or would it be like you've got to defend the team?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I'm sorry, yeah. That's...
I think that should happen. Every team should have to walk to every match, every away match. Be like the Warriors.
Oh, it would.
Or escape from New York or something.
One of the guys in the Warriors looks a lot like Alex Leb.
Is he?
I've never seen it.
That's brilliant.
What is it?
Oh, it's just...
We're talking movie chat again. Yeah, let's get back on track.
But watch it.
Let's get back into the realm of reality. Togo have fielded a fake team against Bahrain.
Hey, he's good at these links, isn't he? He's getting better.
Yeah. I don't know where to start on this one.
Well...
Just why? There we go, that's a good one.
It's a good word to use. Why?
Bahrain won the friendly 3-0, but the head coach, Josef Hitzelsberger, Hickersberger, sorry, was surprised that they basically beat the Togo team so comfortably. And he said they were really bad. And obviously it came out they were a fake side. And he said, oh, it was what a wasted opportunity. Well, not for the players who played, mate.
No.
Not for the fake side. That was a great opportunity. And they took it with both hands.
But what's
think of the other team.
Now?
Did they not spotlight
that Swindon player, Tavesi or Adebayor or something like that?
Yeah.
Did they not spot any of those?
Well, apparently the Bahrain football...
I like to think that there was someone pretending to be Adebayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, was it in Zombie he went for his driving test and just sent somebody else along?
Paid one of his mates.
Oh, yeah. Or Mark Morrison in his community service. Yeah.
Oh, he did that?
He did that, yeah.
The Bahrain Football Association said it had arranged the friendly under all the usual official procedures. The usual official procedures. Which there lies the problem, yeah, I feel.
Well, apparently that doesn't involve checking who the teams are.
Yeah.
Well, need to do some work there.
And it was through an agent they had known for several years.
Every player, like every piece of promotional team kit or apparel, has a certificate of authenticity tattooed on them. So just look for the hologram, is my only advice, to be quite frank.
This isn't the first time we've heard about this sort of thing. It's sort of countries sending fake teams. It just makes you wonder how often they've got away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but does it go on more than
I'm
you
fairly certain I saw a fake John Barnes once. He was opening a quick save.
I don't think England at the World Cup was real England because they won it.
Yeah, not the views of James or Jim. Was it in Thailand? We did a story.
Wasn't it the Koreans before the World Cup? The North Koreans played a team that they themselves touted as the Brazil team, but it was just a second division
club side.
Oh, yeah. That's a bigger error. That's a massive error.
That's propagated by the state, though, so, I mean, it's less...
All right. I'm going to wash my hands of that and move on quickly before they turn up. MLS time.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Minuscule lovers. Sex. I panicked. I'll level with you.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Thierry Henry. Mm. Because
he did something stupid.
It was ridiculous.
It was funny though. It was funny in retrospect.
He injured the FC Dallas goalkeeper after New York had scored. Mm.
Kevin Hartman is the name of him. He's a fat man. He is very fat.
Talk us through it, Pete.
Well, basically they'd just scored a goal and Hartman, the goalkeeper, had the ball at his feet, and Thierry Henry, who was nowhere near the ball, just took a run at it and smashed it as hard as he could, but not noticing that Hartman's foot was behind it, so it really twisted his ankle, and I don't think he went off for it, but if he had, that's a red card for me.
Yeah, no, he was injured.
I think he's quite badly injured, isn't he?
No, I thought he was around, wasn't he, after? Did he go off?
No, he's injured from
it. Oh my god.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a red card for me.
Henri said he often likes to do that after a goal scored.
What, kick the goal?
No, yeah,
I don't remember
exactly
doing that.
Injure the other keeper. Have some of that. No, do you not remember, actually, James? We saw him kick the ball in the Champions League final right in front of us when Barcelona beat Manchester United. Eto'o scored, and he picked the ball up and booted it right to the United fans. Provocative so-and-so.
Yes. He was excellent that day.
Henri, funny.
Unnecessary.
He did apologise, Henri, and he said they accepted his apology.
That's just embarrassing, though, isn't it?
It really is.
God, imagine. It's like when you... I don't know what it's like. Like when you just make an arse of yourself and it's someone else suffering. It just makes you worse.
Yeah. And also in the MLS, Landon Donovan has broken the LA Galaxy's all-time goal-scoring record.
Landy Cakes.
Which was previously held by Coby Jones.
Coventry legend.
Well, he did play
Coventry
for them.
Player.
Yeah. I had his sticker. I remember looking at him and going, they are some good dreads.
Yeah. Good
Coby Jones.
He scored.
Eight. I'm Coby Jones.
Wow.
I'm in Coventry. I'm in your sticker book, Pete. We can be friends. Coby Jones.
Oh, Luke, where are you?
Shall I just turn this fan on? Just so it's like this big present, noisy present. Is that right?
There you go.
It's Luke the fan, everyone.
It's cooling me down, that is.
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. You just shouted through a fan the word Portsmouth.
I did. It's not the same, to be honest.
It's a new low. Let me tell you that Landon Donovan has scored 88 goals in 164 games. And the Galaxy, this is big news, Galaxy, they are currently top of the MLS. Five games, they're 3 points clear.
Mm.
So D-Beck could maybe...
Yeah,
we'll have the big three then: England, Spain, and America. hopefully they can win the league. Incidentally, Chris Knee is doing brilliant blogs on our new
shiny
star-lit website.
Starlit website.
It's star spangled. It just doesn't seem right.
The
American thing. Yeah.
It's very good. Go and read it.
Yeah.
TheFootballRamble.com. Star Spangled. I'm Coby Jones, and I endorse this website.
Oh, I live in Pete's wallet.
If anyone can furnish you with a Panini sticker circa 93-94 season of Corby Jones of Coventry, that would that'd be fantastic.
Get on that ramble force.
Oh dear. It's A-League time.
Oh, we're all over the place. I'm confused.
I'm getting
getting
jet lag.
The Melbourne Heart have turned down an offer to sign Ronaldo. This is Brazilian Ronaldo. He's offering his services now to teams.
I thought he was signed until 2012 or something.
With
Corinthians.
No, well, let me finish, Pete.
Oh.
Apparently, he was offering to play for them, which can only be described as a kind of a guest appearance basis.
Yeah.
Would
that have to be Melbourne Hearts featuring Ronaldo?
Yeah, pretty much. And this was for the fee of around about £60,000 per game.
Wow.
Wow.
Wowzers.
If he's offering services as a guest player, so to speak, yeah, like a special appearance, that presumably means precludes him from actually training.
Yeah.
He's refusing to do any training.
It sounds to me like...
For 60,000 quid.
It sounds to me like a good friend of his has moved to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And every time he visits him, he thinks, well, hang on a minute, I could make a few quid here, just turn around, turn out for them, 10 minutes.
His belly's going to Australia.
Incidentally, Melbourne Heart chief exec Scott Munn declined the offer. Quite stupidly, really, as far as I'm concerned, but there we are. Right, gentlemen, a little treat here. It's Jack Warner.
Oh, hello.
It's been a while.
It has been a little while.
Wow. What's that terrible prick been up to?
Is parasitical a word?
I know what it would mean if it were.
No, so. I think the it's paracetamol.
Paracetamol. Yeah, I need one. We're talking about Warner. I think two words certainly leap to mind when one describes Jack Warner. Dreadful and bastard, really. He said that apparently last week he threatened a rival senator in Trinidad. He's a senator in Trinidad. It's sort of quite Star Wars-esque, I think. In Trinidad, he threatened him with legal action because the rival senator was alleged to have withheld over $200,000 of public funds since last year. And Big Jack said he has ignored demands to pay it three times, so the next step is court. Incidentally, just while we're on the subject of Jack Warner and money, he has said that... he's still not going to pay the Trinidad and Tobago World Cup squad of 2006 their bonuses, the money that's due to them. That's over 4 years. The squad are demanding a third hearing because he keeps appealing. All the courts keep ruling it overwhelmingly in favour of the players,
yeah,
for Warner to pay them. But apparently Warner's office said, we will appeal this. The learned judge misdiscredited himself, and Jack Warner said himself, these players hold us to ransom just because of their greed.
That's not how it works, is it? You can't you can't guarantee someone a bonus for something and then say, well, you want it.
Well, No. He's not even questioning the terms of the contract. He's just sort of, I think he's making out that something, one of the players leaked something to the press, which for which he's got no proof, and he's sort of saying,
well, even if they did.
But it's not okay. Exactly, it's got nothing to do with the contract, but apparently that's in the contract, you're not allowed to leak stuff, obviously. But I mean, he hasn't got any proof for it, and he's just sort of saying, well, something got leaked to the press by somebody inside TNT football organisation. I'm presuming it's one of the players, so I'm not going to pay you the bonuses. Well, start the bonuses first and then start your own legal claim. This has nothing to do with the actual... It's Shaq Hislop's dad that's dealing with this all.
Oh, really?
And in a sort of reverse sort of sins of the father things, I support this man in all of his... his fine work raising his... Well, Shaq and Corner Hislop, who used to play for Hartlepool for a short period of time.
Sticker
he's not in my Panini
well.
Sticker album, no.
Do you talk to him too?
There are other sticker albums available.
Is there? Merlin? Do they do what they do?
Incidentally, chaps, Luke has left the keys behind for Diego Corner, and will be opening it up in Ramble Extra.
Oh,
so yes, if you go over to 442.com on Friday, we'll be doing Diego Corner there.
My second favourite website.
Yeah, I've seen some of your specialist websites.
Excelente.
Do you want an email?
Oh, if you've got one, that'd be great.
Just found it here, dear Ramble.
Hello.
Hello.
To my delight, whilst catching up on recent rambles, I came across Pete referencing the larger-than-life footballer that is Adebayo Akinfenwa. The reason for this is that Akinfenwa is something of a cult hero amongst my friends and I, due in no small part to his apparent disregard of the stereotype that an athlete should have some semblance of a fit and healthy lifestyle.
This is the big lad you pointed out, Pete.
He's not just big. He's round.
Yeah. Akinfenwa first came on our radar when he was an unknown signing for our local club, Torquay United. After a slow start to his Torquay career, he went on to be a powerful League One striker for us in his only season at the club. However, his appearance made him a subject of mockery amongst my group of friends, leading to numerous jibes and chants from ourselves, including taunts such as Akin's packing, dramatic pause, lunch for two, and Akin's, and Akin's lacking, dramatic pause, a sense of moderation. Yeah. However, Bio solidified his status as a cult hero in our eyes nearing the end of his time at Torquay, a small seaside town. I happened to spot Akinfenwa at a local garage and plucked up the courage to express my admiration and commend him on a recent performance.
Ginsters everywhere.
Yeah, all down his face. However, being a gobby 17-year-old, I turned the conversation to the fans' criticism of his work rate and being overweight, to which, without a sense of irony or hint of a smile, he tapped my glasses and cryptically replied, "I'm not fat, your eyesight deceives you."
No, it doesn't.
He then left without saying another word. From then on, we always referred to him as the enigma wrapped in pastry. Keep up the good work. Cheers, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Nice one, Joe. Pete, a man sharing your views on the rotund man.
He's massive. He's like a Michelin man.
Yeah.
I got an email.
Moving on swiftly.
This is from James Dwinfor.
Good name.
There's no hello, but he does say thanks for reading at the end, so I'll put that at the top so it sounds polite.
Good.
I myself have dabbled in a bit of Wikipedia editing.
This is in reference to what you did, Pete.
Yes, I edited Jared Houllier's Wikipedia entry so that the Aston Villa website reflected a lie that I started.
Internet deviant, Pete.
So it's good to see the Ramblers from the forum and beyond getting involved on my Wikipedia. So
yeah, yeah. They're getting your Wikipedia is ridiculous now.
It's very long. It's very long. But it's very good. I myself have dabbled in a bit of Wikipedia editing. The best one was placing my friend in the FC Engelstadt 4 reserves as a Kenyan forward. After about 6 months, my friend was contacted via Facebook by a member of the Kenyan national team staff asking if he was the same guy who played for FC Engelstadt 4.
Absolutely.
Surely they should know that. It would have been them that called him up.
This is how the Togo thing started.
I was going to say, James is,
And that the Kenyan national team had an injury crisis and were looking for fresh players. My friend originally ignored the message, but after two more messages in English and German, he replied, claiming to have an injury but would like to be considered in the future.
He should have gone for it.
I know,
yeah. Why not?
Well, to Ali Dai all over again.
He would have been found out as soon as he turned up.
Yeah, perhaps.
Presumably didn't look like it. Wonderful.
Can we get me in there? I want to play in an African qualifier.
You need to step up your Wikipedia vandalism, and then maybe you'll be able to.
You've only just joined Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
Walk before you can run, Marcus.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Twitter now, ladies and gentlemen.
Check that out. Ooh. At Marcus Speller.
That's me.
Check that out.
At Marcus Speller.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that, James Dwinfor.
Marvellous stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again when we do a profile.
Mm.
And I'm rubbing my hands together.
Brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
That's Luke.
Brilliant.
Outrageous.
James?
Yes?
It's Tony Adams.
Tony Adams. I'm delighted about that. About time too.
All right. You and the forum or something.
We've got a lot of stick about Bobby Moore not being in there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It continues.
I got confused. I heard English centre-back needs to go in, so I put out Tony Adams. Tony.
Don't bait them.
Well, he's done it now.
Tony Alexander Adams. He was born on the 10th of October 1966.
Ooh. I don't even know where the summer... I just
one
let him get on with it.
One year before the summer of love.
Is that when it's 67?
That bit now.
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett.
Where was he born?
Romford.
Oh, yes! Debonair.
Yeah.
How many players for Arsenal in that sort of era came from Romford?
Ray Parlour from Romford as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just them two, but that's enough.
I was going to say.
It's represented.
That's a spine, isn't it?
Too many.
I think he went to the same school as my mum.
Ah.
I'm not sure.
He never...
weird.
he won Club Man.
Yeah, he was.
When people call him Mr. Arsenal.
Yeah. None of this Mr. Chelsea. that gets bestowed on players occasionally now.
Yeah.
Not naming any names.
Had a lovely soft voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, strangely.
It's quite sort of dreamy, like a cloud.
Not a great pundit, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah, absolutely. He became Arsenal's youngest captain at 21.
Mm, I believe there's a record as well with Adams. He's the only player in, I think, English history. It might even be further, like, wider than that, but I think he's the only player to captain a side in three different decades.
Oh, is that right?
I think that might be true.
Marvellous stuff. It's still a great achievement, even if a few other people have done
it. Yeah, yeah.
14 years as captain.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was very young when he was made captain.
That's right, yeah.
Was he 21?
21, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
His right arm must have some, like, ill effects from that.
Yeah.
Blue by the end of it.
Yeah.
I've got blue arm.
Captain's upper arm, or whatever they could call it. Yes, nearly 670 appearances for Arsenal. 10 major trophies, 3 league titles. Bob Wilson, who of course is the television presenter
and former Arsenal goalkeeper,
the member of the double winning side of 71, said he is the greatest of all Arsenal men. As simple as that.
Wow, that's high praise from Bob Wilson.
Flipping, absolutely. So, and of course Adams was the leader of the famous back four with Steve Bold as his centre back partner, and Lee Dixon and Nigel Winterburn.
There's also Keown and Linegan involved in that quite a lot as well. So it's just this huge defence. That's basically what it was. You'd have Ian Wright, Paul Merson, and Anders Limpart, and just some cloggers.
Yeah.
Just loads of cloggers.
But they were absolutely superb, though.
Oh, yeah, they're just an absolutely monumental defence. Mm.
Used to be like Bald, because he was going bald. Bald was going bald ever since
Made
he was like 17.
To remember.
He was thinning from the age
of
20.
So he was an underrated player as well.
Yeah, Bald was a good player. I think Tony Adams, committed, gutsy, inspirational.
Mm.
All words that describe the man.
Great header of the ball.
Yeah.
Scored a few with his head as well.
He did, yeah. That back four for Arsenal were absolutely superb. And he was, the leader and an absolutely huge part of that. And George Graham said that he is my sergeant major on the pitch.
Yeah.
Tony Adams, he made his England debut in 1987. And he was the first player born after the 1966 World Cup to be selected for England.
Yeah.
There you are.
Got quite a few weird little things like that.
Mm.
Strange little accolades and records. It's not really an accolade, is it?
Yeah.
Not an achievement in itself, but
being born.
He played at Euro 88, but he had a bit of a shocker there. Well, I think England did completely. He took a bit of the blame for the loss against Ireland, and then Marco van Basten had his wicked way with him on the pitch. On the pitch. And England...
I don't remember that scandal.
It didn't do too well. And kind of as a result, really, his England career didn't really take off when he was quite young, as often great players do. And he missed out on the 1990 World Cup. But before that World Cup, he had already taken the Arsenal captaincy, and of course they won the league in that famous match at Anfield on the final day of the season, 88-89.
Yep.
He's the first captain to lead a side to the FA Cup and League Cup double in the same season in 1993.
Was that the two Sheffield Wednesday games?
I believe so.
Yeah. And didn't he drop? It was Steve Morrow, wasn't it? He dropped him.
Oh,
when they were celebrating one of them. He got really badly injured.
Yeah, he was the League Cup win, I think.
Yeah.
He had a fantastic game against Spurs in the FA Cup semi-final in 93. Of course, Spurs had beaten them in 91 with that famous Gascoigne free kick. And Adams was superb. And he, in around about the 80th minute, went up the other end and nodded the only goal of the game. That is... As a centre back, you can't ask for much more than that.
that is a captain's performance.
Yeah,
isn't it?
You keep them out, you play superbly, and then towards the end of the game, you nod the winner.
Yeah,
and then you shut them out for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful stuff. He was a part of the England side, which of course failed to qualify for 94 World Cup. But then he captained the side and was very much a part of the Euro 96 team that got to the semi final.
Yeah,
I can remember him. He was beaming after they beat Holland 4-1.
Yeah,
and he was like 8 years. 8 years I waited for that.
Yeah. Adams was one of those players, I mean, we've said this about Shearer before as well at the time, but he was one of those players you just trusted.
Yeah,
like, just
totally.
Just completely, just had absolute faith in them.
Yeah, yeah, and the way he sort of boomed out the national anthem, you were like, we've got him on our team.
Do you remember that, girl he scored? I can't remember, which team did he score against where Bold knocked it?
Oh, we're
over
coming
the top
on to that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's all right, Luke. Jumping ahead. So after Euro 96, Wenger took over. and kept faith with Adams. And quite a bold move, especially as Adams was battling alcoholism at the time, which we must mention, you know.
Well, there was a big, big drinking culture at Arsenal around that time. Right. Obviously, Paul Merson suffered quite a bit from that as well. And obviously, Wenger came in, he revolutionised a lot of the sort of dietary stuff and things like that. And, you know, I think it was a huge part in Adams sort of continuing to play to such a high level for such a long time, because he was obviously... obviously Arsenal wasn't a great place to be to get away from that, because it was clearly a thing going on amongst the players. And I think it wasn't just Arsenal at the time, that was very much the case at a lot of clubs in England. But it's the impact Wenger had on him kind of really is almost like a microcosm of how he's affected the wider
I think Arsene Wenger
sort of thinking, not just Wenger, obviously. Yeah.
But I think he probably turned up the club and went, what the fuck? More pasta, less metal polish, or whatever you mean. My word.
Yeah, well, it must be said, of course, that Adams, way back in 1991, had a prison sentence for drink driving, and then publicly admitted his health problems 5 years later. But once sober, he beat the alcoholism. He established a charity, Sporting Chance, which was a charity to help youngsters deal with the problems he had faced. So
that's massive now as well. It's not like something that just disappeared just because he had, and it wasn't just a PR measure for him. Mm. You know, it has grown from absolute strength to strength.
It's just incredible.
So I believe he used the money from his testimonial towards that.
Okay.
Which is quite
good. Oh, he earned a lot of money from his testimonial, about $500,000 or something.
Yeah, which all went to Sporting Chance.
Yeah, yeah. Superb. And then, of course, he won the league with Arsenal in 98, scoring on the last day against Everton.
Yeah, there's a brilliant bit of commentary from that. I forget who it actually is, but
I don't believe it, sort of.
No, is this what you were talking about, Pete?
Where Bold, like, lobs it over the top and he just slides in.
He's got a clear run on goal and he scores. And whoever was commentating went, and that just sums it all up.
It was Martin Tyler. Because it was obviously 3-0, I think Overmars had scored a couple. Slaven Bilic with an own goal game, I think. Yeah, he was put in, and because Arsenal needed to win, I think, to clinch the title, and he was like, and he coming through the middle, Tony Adams, can you believe it? And he smashed it in.
He was so happy, his little face.
It's a wonderful piece of commentary, it has to be said. Adams, of course, played it.
I miss winning things!
Remember that, James? Silver stuff. Played at 98 World Cup. England get into the second round, played at Euro 2000 as well. Didn't do so well there, England. But and his last game, I think, was against Germany at Wembley when they lost 1-0. He retired from international football. He captained England 15 times, and
it seems like he captained England more than that.
Yeah, I actually saw a Tony Adams goal at Wembley when I watched them friendly against Ukraine. I was in the stadium. Collector's item.
Header.
When you see videos now of the old Wembley, it looks bigger than the new one.
Yeah,
I know
it's weird.
Not, but it's odd.
Yeah, very odd. Of course, Adams, he retired at the end of 2001-2002 season. 2004, he was inducted into what is now known as the Dean Windass Hall of Fame warm-up, the English Hall of Fame. He was, in 2008, he was... placed third, in the 50 Greatest Gunners poll conducted by Arsenal fans.
Nice.
After football, of course, he went into management. Not so successful there. He was at Wycombe Wanderers and then assistant to Harry Redknapp at Portsmouth and then got the job and was sacked. But he's now taken a job in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, he's... it's weird because we were talking about this earlier, but Azerbaijan's one of those places where nobody really knows a lot about it. They've got quite booming economies and kind of anything could really happen out there. It's odd. Apparently he's got quite a decent budget behind him and stuff, because like Scolari was he in Azerbaijan?
He was in Uzbekistan,
right.
Where Rivaldo still is.
Exactly, yeah.
He was getting
players like that, wasn't he? Yeah.
Tony Adams is getting personally $1 million a season. So
wow.
That's a decent amount.
Well, he said he wants to start this club up from scratch. And it really to be like a Tony Adams FC team. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon he was as a youth in Romford. He's probably thinking, you know, one day I can play my way out of here.
Who knows? But perhaps his biggest compliment was given to him by Sir Alex Ferguson, who wrote in his book, "I can't wait for him to retire," in 1999, which is such a big compliment, really.
It's brilliant,
especially from Sir
and
Alex.
Then die. What you like, Alex?
And Sir Alex wrote, he said, he's the defining spirit of their team, Arsenal, of course. A classic English defender, brave, reliable, and capable not only of fulfilling his own responsibilities superbly, but of organising and inspiring others. Mm. Absolutely. And in he comes to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
One thing I do like about Fergie is that you often hear quotes about players from other teams, you remember, that are just like glowing.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, you can tell he loves the game outside of winning, which is the thing he loves most.
Absolutely. And that's one of them.
And let's not forget that despite his face, he got off with Caprice. Round of applause.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
Dear. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the football ramble. I hope you've had a lovely time.
Perhaps forever, if we can survive some shambolic show.
James, the new website, thefootballramble.com.
Oh, it's so shiny. It's www.thefootballramble.com, as you already know.
Star-spangled.
We've got a forum on there, which is getting quite lively already, so you should go over there. What have been your highlights of the forum so far, guys? Mine has been my own thread I posted, which is of the worst rapper I have ever seen in my life. It's called Worst Rapper Ever.
Stop talking about him.
I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Every time anybody leaves like an open internet connection, he's on there.
Yeah,
find out what this man.
But you all watch it, don't you? Because he's so fascinatingly bad.
I there's been a bit of talk on my thread about what shampoo I use.
Yeah,
and so I've
people really seem to want to know.
Yeah, well, it's the height of the hair, I think.
I mean, there is football on there. Let's make that clear. We had a picture of Lord Ramble meeting a CSK player.
Oh right.
Yeah, we swelled out Lord Ramble's face there.
But there are some blogs from top writers, Andy Brassel, James Appel, Chris Nears, we said before.
Brian Maxwell from southamericanfootball.co.uk.
And Joel Richards.
Mm. Yeah, and me.
You.
There's RambleTube up there. There's all kinds of shenanigans going on.
Yeah,
it's wicked.
Get involved. Thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Oh, goodbye.
So it's goodbye from me. We're all off to take Jack Warner to court, allegedly. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.